AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
You won't believe this, Davis.
I don't believe it already.
I listened to this song last night, and I thought, you know what? We don't use this enough as bump music.
Really?
No kidding. It's a good one. I like it.
Maybe we're just using the wrong part of it. Maybe we could use other parts of it for other bumps.
Maybe we could.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason that we can't just jump into the middle of the song. I don't know why we couldn't do that.
Chop it up into 27-second segments and disperse. You know?
And let's
Enjoy.
Go.
You're
and
welcome.
Let's go. All right. Let's get to the conversation right now with Michael Langemeyer. Michael is the Associate Director for the Center of Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University. That is where the Ag Economy Barometer is produced, along with help from the CME Group. Michael is also a professor in the Department of Ag Economics at Purdue University. He joins us right now. Michael, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Great. Good. Great to be here.
Great. I'm glad that you are here. Okay. Michael, a bit of softness or a souring of attitudes among farmers, I think, is being reflected in this month's Ag Economy Barometer, isn't it?
Yes, and I think there's two things we can point to. One of them is the last WASDE report was not very positive with the increases in corn yields and the increases in soybean yields, and keeping in mind that about half the people that we survey on a monthly basis are primarily corn and soybean producers, it was not surprising that the Ag Economy Barometer and the two sub-indices were down. The other signal is we asked this question, as you know, related to biggest concern. And certainly the lower crop and livestock prices that we're seeing, lower crop receipts that we're seeing in 24 or expect to see in 24 are also on people's minds. Right now, in terms of biggest concern, lower crop and livestock prices and input costs are the same. Right at about 28%. Okay. For months, input cost has been higher as a concern as these lower prices, and now lower prices is neck and neck with input cost. But the fact that both of them are there as the top concerns, you know, just tells how worried producers are about this price cost squeeze.
I'm telling you, Michael, we just wrapped up Top Producer Summit down in Kansas City. Had a huge crowd down there. I don't know how many we had, but it was a big ballroom and it was full. And I had several attendees stop and say, you know what, Chip, it's not just the simple fact that we're at 450. It's the fact that it has taken as long as it has to get to 450 and no sign that, you know, and now that we're at 430, 435 in the front month contract, really no sign of when the price pressure is going to let up. I think what your survey discovered in or unveiled in January about attitude about price is spot on. It has moved into the number one spot among concerns going into the year ahead.
Yeah, and we've had some relief from production costs. I mean, when we look at the 24 budgets here at Purdue, you know, break-even price for corn is down about 9%, primarily due to lower fertilizer costs. But nevertheless, it's still well above 5 for a lot of producers. And as you said, these cash prices are down in the 425, 450 range, considerably below most people's break-even.
Well, and all of this is about income, about cash flow, about net returns. And when you look at the numbers that are coming from USDA, their updates on net cash income for the year ahead, my goodness gracious, you guys were identifying that this is going to be a problem before we got the official announcement from USDA, right?
Yes, and you got to remember, I don't want to be too pessimistic here, but you have to remember that about a third of the people that respond to the survey are livestock producers, And a big chunk of that third is beef producers that really are doing fairly well. And so just think what the sentiment would be if it would be just crop producers. It'd be even worse than it is now. And that's primarily the audience that I work with is crop producers. And I think they're recognizing that 24 could be a repeat of something like 19.
Okay, Michael, there's something in figure four that I want to look at very closely here. And it's not a huge number, but when you're talking about going from a 7% a year ago to an 11% this year, it's a big percentage increase in the amount of attention that it's getting. And the question is, looking ahead to next year, what are your biggest concerns for your farming operations? Environmental policy is sneaking up. It's up to 11% believe that is the biggest concern. What kind of perspective can you give us on that?
In general, if you look at several different questions, policy concerns are higher this month than they have been for a while. And so it's not only environmental policy. I think it's also immigration policy, trade policy, the Farm Bill. I was just looking at the data from USDA-ERS related to the release of the net farm income forecast yesterday. And if you look at government payments forecast for 2024, they're really low. And so I think producers are very concerned about where the safety net is at the current time.
Okay. So it's not just any environmental
I think
policy.
environmental policy is definitely on people's radar,
Yeah.
but there is several other policies that
It's
are
the whole
also on
package.
people's radar. It's the whole package.
Yeah.
And what the word I would use when it comes to policy right now, and I've been using this for a while, but I think it's increased, is uncertainty.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have a policy that we have difficulty living with, but when you don't know what the policies are going to be, that really creates a angst.
Yeah. It really doesn't. I'm just going to throw this out there. And one of the reasons is because when you look at the demand that is being built because of some of the policies that are out there for biofuels for the years ahead and the uncertainty of what is going to happen if we have a changeover in the occupancy of the White House, that won't affect my bottom line at all, at least I don't think, Michael. And it gives me heartburn.
Yeah, it's worrisome to say the least. And as you know, 35 to 40% of the U.S. corn crop goes into ethanol, and we have really high hopes for renewable diesel. And if those change,
Yeah.
we're in big trouble in terms of prices.
Yep. Okay. Talk to me about, yeah, we've got time for this before because I want to get to that last item. But first, let's talk about the impact on land prices. What are the expectations?
The expectations for land are still relatively optimistic compared to the Ag Economy Barometer overall. There's still an index of 115, where 100 would be neutral with respect to land prices in the next 12 months. And so overall, there's still a little bit optimistic that land prices will continue to increase in the next 12 months. And then you look at the 5 year, it's still about 60%, an index of about 160, meaning that they're quite confident that land prices are going to increase in the next 5 years. We also asked a question related to operating loans, and I want to tie this together with the land
Yes.
values because obviously the sentiment is relatively weak right now compared to what it's been in recent months because of the things that we've talked about. We've built up a lot of liquidity in the agriculture sector the last 3 years. And so when you look at the operating loan question, yes, financial stress looks like it's ticking up, but it's still really low compared to what it was even in 2020. And I'm
Yeah.
getting that from the operating loan questions that we asked. And so there is some strong points out there in agriculture, and one of them is the balance sheet. The
Yeah.
balance sheet is
Yep.
really strong right now with support for land values and people expecting that land values will increase at least a little bit here
Okay.
in the near future. So that's helping the non-current portion of the balance sheet, but the current portion is also relatively strong. And so we're certainly in pretty good position to withstand this cost price squeeze if it's only 1 year.
Right. If it's only 1 year, that's exactly right. Okay. We've only got a minute left. Talk to me about the question about the carbon payments.
Yeah, this was very consistent. We've asked this question off and on for the last 3 years, and it's very consistent when we've asked it before. Only about 10% are aware of opportunities related to carbon, and so it's a relatively small number. And when you look at the payments that 10% is looking at when they're looking at carbon, they're still relatively low. With over 50% being below, $10 per metric ton, which would translate in my back of the envelope math at about less than $10 an acre. And so that's been the consistent story the last 3 years, and that really hasn't changed.
Yeah. Feels like that is going to have to change if those companies that are looking to sell the carbon offsets hope that their program is going to get some traction.
Those rates are going to have to come up.
They've got to, Michael, no question. Great job, man. Another great survey. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You bet. Michael Langemeyer, Associate Director, Center for Commercial Agriculture there at Purdue University. Emily Score from Growth Energy is just off one of the biggest ethanol meetings of the year. We're going to get a rundown of what happened next on AgriTalk.